is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sharon Sarles, still proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. We are in the fourth of a series for Independence Day, this year of 2014. And we are going to talk some more about the vision that John Adams had for education and for our nation, the part that education, and we'll mention religion, would play in our nation so that we might have independence, liberty, freedom. We're going to bust that big myth. It is repeated over and over in our colleges today. Young people repeat it and they say, "Ha! How could we know what the intentions of the founders were?" Well, we know because they told us. They left copious documents, journals. We know the books they read and we know what their speeches were. We know what their intentions were because they told us. And the fact that those students don't know is because they haven't read them. Why not? I don't know. I can't imagine any educator not agreeing with the proposition that if we read the primary text, we would know more. And certainly this has been the standard previously in colleges and universities, but seems to be honored in the breach today. That means not followed. So today we're going to read the words that John Adams penned. I am so impressed with this John Adams. He was a primary promoter of independency, as he would have said, in the convention that promulgated the Declaration of Independence. He worked tirelessly as a delegate, as a writer, a speechwriter, as a diplomat, and of course later as vice president and a president, and also as of course as a father of a president. So we have much to learn, and we will read his words today. I want to let you know that I have a new offer. I have a document that I will offer to you that is a civics lesson for homeschool that will cover the same topics that I have been covering. It is not the same as the broadcast. Not the same. These are lessons for students, maybe 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. You can vary them somewhat, but there will be a reading of an original source document, orations on the occasion of celebration of independence by people who were alive at that time and looking back only a few years. So you know what they thought, you know how it was implemented. So it's a short reading, and then there will be questions, you know, short fill-in-the-blanks questions, and then if it's for a little older student, there will be an essay to write. So there will be four lessons that will cover similar topics to what I have covered in these four broadcasts. And if you email me at info@greatshalom.org, info at great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, and shalom, shalom.org. If you email me, I will email you this document back and hope that you give me feedback on how your teaching went. And then eventually I will put it with four other similar lessons, and there will be a semester of social studies and civics lessons. Also, I want to point out to you a great source book. Celebrate Liberty is the title of it. The subtitle, Famous Patriotic Speeches and Sermons, collected, compiled by David Barton, and available at Wall Builders, www.wallbuilders.com, as well as perhaps some booksellers. Celebrate Liberty, and he has compiled orations, speeches, on, they didn't call them 4th of July celebrations, but Independence Day celebrations. And he gives you an explanation and something about each of the speakers and helps you with the language. Some students may not understand the more archaic language. So I recommend this book, and for your older students, your high school students, get it. For yourself, get it. It's wonderful, edifying, encouraging reading, and so necessary today when we have such myths coming out as, well, how can we know the intentions of the speaker? Why the founders? Why would somebody want that idea planted widely, that we can't know their intentions? Because they have contrary intentions. Why would they not teach in our schools and colleges the genius that founded this country? Why? Well, because they have some other plan, and that would be something anti-liberty. So we would like to promote, promulgate, and educate correctly, and know what the facts are about history. And it's a good history. And thank you, Lord God, for our liberty. Founded. These ideas were founded in the Word of God. And if you know history, you can't gainsay it. You can only cover it up. So, want to make that offer available to you. If you want the civics lessons from me, just email me at info@greatshalom.org, and you'll have four that are based on these Independence Day orations. And if you want more about that, you want the full text, it's there in Celebrate Liberty, compiled by David Barton. Also, last year we did a series, last summer, last July, based on the New England Primer. And we have a new American Primer in audio, which I recommend to you, and you may order that, and you may find out more information about that at www.greatshalom.org, and you may order it from there. So please do that. And so let's get right down to reading some words from John Adams. I promise that, and we will make good on our promises. Today I wish to read to you what John Adams wrote in the Constitution or Form of Government of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, it is true that Thomas Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence, but John Adams, of course, was a primary arguer for those ideas, and also afterwards, Jefferson was practically mute in the discussions afterwards, and it was John Adams that argued on the floor of the body. Well, they were in perfect agreement about these principles at the time, and later on they had some differences politically, but they died great friends. But anyway, John Adams himself actually penned the Constitution of, they called it, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And one of the things he was most proud about in that was Section 2 of Chapter 6, which I will read to you. This is about education. As you know, I'm quite focused on education. I will say I stand on the mountain of the Lord's house and speak to the mountain of education. So here we go. John Adams. Wisdom and knowledge, as well as virtue, diffused generally, that means spread, through generally among the body of the people, being necessary for the preservation of their rights and liberties. Okay, so he's saying that obviously you know that we're going to have virtue to be continue to be free. And as these depend on the spreading of the opportunities and advantages of education in various parts of the country, and among the different orders of people, it shall be the duty of legislators and magistrates in all future periods of this commonwealth to cherish the interests of literature and sciences, and all seminaries of them, especially the university at Cambridge, public schools, and grammar schools in the towns. All right, so because we need virtue for freedom, and because virtue is dependent on education, which is something we might question today, then it will be the duty of the people in government to, he says, cherish the interests of literature and sciences. He goes on, and he specifies public schools. To encourage private societies and public institutions, rewards and immunities for the promotion of agriculture, arts, sciences, commerce, trades, manufactures, and a natural history of the country, to countenance and inculcate the principles of humanity and general benevolence, public and private charity, industry and frugality, honesty and punctuality in their dealings, sincerity, good humor, and all social affections and generous sentiments among the people, end quote. So clearly, he envisions a widespread education, widespread in terms of content matter, widespread through the population, he says all sorts of people, and specifies in some detail the kind of character formation that he wishes to have through it. Is this the aim of our public education? We certainly do have public education. And thank you very much to people like John Adams and Benjamin Rush for their concern about that. But the kind of education is so important. Let's look at it. Inculcate the principles of humanity and general benevolence, public and private charity, industry and frugality, honesty and punctuality in their dealings, sincerity, good humor, and all social affections and generous sentiments among the peoples. End quote. He did not say reading, writing, and arithmetic, and certainly not STEM, as if math were the only thing, and I realize that math is very helpful in innovation of the kind we have today, but charity, industry and frugality, honesty and punctuality, sincerity, good humor, social affections, that we should care one for another? No, this is not what we are inculcating in our public school today. However, it certainly is, certainly was in the New England Primer, and that was what he and his son and some generations later, all the way until 1830s or beyond, people used the New England Primer. So that's what the beginning of education was at the time, and started with, in Adam we send all, went on to Proverbs, that if you find your neighbor's cow, you need to take it back to him. It certainly inculcated a biblical morality. There's no question about it. He clearly does say private and public institutions for the spreading of science and literature and letters. And so this is much more balanced than so much of our public discussion about education. Well, yes, it's clear that John Adams thought we should make some public expenditure for the poor, education of poor people, but there should be no restraint on the private societies, and private schools, as there seems to be quite a bit today. And so let's look then also at how this is related to religion, worship, and the duty of government, because this is all tied together, and it's very pertinent today. This is really the celebration of liberty that we need to make, not simply fireworks, as though it's wonderful, but a remembrance of the principles, because this is what America is, not simply a place, but an idea, not simply a people, but the principles upon which they made themselves a people. Thank you to John Adams. Let us celebrate our independence. Welcome back. This is Sharon Sarles, and we're talking about what we need for well-being for our children. And we are celebrating the great history that we have in this country, in the United States. And there, I realize there are many people who live outside of the United States who listen to the broadcast, and we welcome you, and we hope that the best of what the idea of America can spread all around the world, and we trust that it is. Many people have been inspired by democracy and liberty, and we apologize that we are not perfect, but the light that shines through what bushels we have put on it has been an inspiration. Many people wish to come here, and we welcome them as long as they come legally and wish to follow in these ideals. But what I'm saying today is we who are Americans need to educate ourselves and our children about the wishes and the ideals of our founders, the intention of our founders, or we will lose that. And so we have just read section 6 of, let's see, 2 and 6, section 2, chapter 6 of the, entitled The Encouragement of Literature, etc., written by John Adams in the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, as it was stated, and of course based on his thoughts on government that he wrote earlier in his life. And it's clear that he sets forth clearly that he thinks that education is so vital to continuance of good government, because education would inculcate virtue, and obviously we need virtue for good government, as he says. And clearly this is something we most urgently need to learn. This is a lesson for all of us. I'm reading from David McCullough's John Adams. Let me read you a couple of paragraphs from Mr. McCullough about this section that John Adams wrote. Because wisdom and education were not sufficient of themselves, he added further the duty of government to countenance and inculcate the principles of humanity, charity, industry, frugality, honesty, sincerity, virtue in some, and amiability as well, good humor as he called it, counted for the common good. The Constitution of Massachusetts was to proclaim such that suggesting that such delight in life as Adams had found in the... Okay, so he had written all of this from a burst of his pen, and he expected it to be stricken out, but it was passed unanimously and without amendment to his delight. What was changed is that he originally wrote that all men were born equally free and independent. Equally free and independent. And it was changed to read that all men were born free and equal, a change, McCullough says, that Adams did not like and would like even less as time went on. Right, and so we have seen that there was some discussion about that in history, that we are equal before the law, but obviously not equal in all ways, so, or the same. Not all bricks out of one factory. And this is part of the understanding and of the founders. Yes, we know their intentions because they told us, and they told us in copious documents. Now, what did John Adams say about religion? He said in this Constitution of Massachusetts, he said it was the duty of all people to worship. The duty. Well, if you have a duty to worship, then you also have a right. He said no one was to be, quote, hurt, molested, or restrained in his person, liberty, or estate for worshiping the God in the manner most agreeable to the dictates of his own conscience. And of course, providing he didn't disturb the peace, but the people of Massachusetts were to have the sole and exclusive right of governing themselves. What they were so intent on avoiding was a monarchy. They did not want to have another tyrant, a dictator. This was all about having freedom, liberty of self-governance. Not license, not everyone doing whatever, but general consensus, of course, based on a general consensus about virtue, which, of course, was, even though they had disputes, you know, the Congregationalists versus the Presbyterians versus the Baptists or the Methodists, there was still a great consensus of what that virtue was and where and how you would find that out. So people were to govern themselves, but not without virtue. And so it was a social compact. Once again, John Adams from the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The body politic is formed by a voluntary association of individuals. It is a social compact by which the whole people covenants with each citizen and each citizen with the whole people that all shall be governed by certain laws for the common good. You see, this is a great balance. Not like the German idea of every individual for the whole. And not like the Bolshevik, the whole for every individual, which we see neither one of those worked very well, did it? So, how do you prevent a dictatorship if it's not by having a rule of law and those laws being formed in such a way as to prevent dictatorship? That's why we have the separation of powers. And how do you make that go forward without subverting, without virtue? And virtue is based in education and religion. And we saw that the education that they wanted, last year we saw this, and promulgated, was clearly a biblical morality in the New England Primer. And we saw Benjamin Rush and others, one of the first things they did in the Congress was to print a Bible for the use of public schools. Well, hallelujah, we have had a good run too. For more than 200 years, we have been leader in industry, frugality, good humor. Not without blemish, but what is unusual about America is not imperialism. We weren't a colonial power. It's not the genocide. We restrained genocide comparatively. It's not subjugation of peoples because we were a leader in overturning that. And along with our British friends who also were steeped in the same sort of religion. And in fact, the whole world in Roman, Greco-Roman time was the majority of people were slaves. And it was because the Christians served the Mass, served communion to all people. It then became inarguable in that society that everyone had a soul. And so slavery became less and less fashionable because of Christianity. And wealth was created, not just simply stolen, due to these ideas. Capitalism was formed in Europe, but got really going in the United States. No one would disagree that the United States has a great deal of capitalism, but we also, of course, have a great deal of charity, and we have been a leader in giving money away, and we have some socialist programs. But it's rooted, all of this, both our charity and our wealth creation, rooted in biblical morality and spread through, originally it was spread through our education system. And may it be so again. So we celebrate our liberty and we thank our leaders, our founders, like John Adams and others, who clearly told us what their intentions were. They did not simply leave some ambiguous, disconnected, bare few lines to us, but they had daily journals, plus many letters plus their reading, plus their conversations, plus their orations, plus their articles for publication. We know what they thought, and don't let anyone tell you we don't. So go out and buy and read John Adams' biography by David McCullough. He doesn't speak much about the religion, but he clearly read many of John Adams' papers. And it will definitely encourage you. Hallelujah. It has encouraged me. And one thing that encourages me is how Adams was so dedicated, even when he found such resistance. He was sent to the French court. The French monarch, of course, had very little love for democracy and wanted to support the colonies, mostly because they wanted to stick it in the eye of the Brits, not because the monarch wanted to support democracy. And so found John Adams quite annoying. In fact, specifically, he found Adams' manifest integrity unsettling. Well, let us have a manifest integrity in the same way and keep going like John Adams, and we too will see our fruit in generations to come. Please do come to the website www.greatshalom.org, www.greatshalom.org. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.